Blog Talk Radio.
Internet Church. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and we are so happy that we can come together in the name of the Lord and worship Him together in love. Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are still rejoicing. And yes, we're glad in it. Amen? Amen. God is good, saints. And he's good all the time because there's no bad in him anywhere. Everything about God is good. Even when we're somewhat puzzled, everything about God is good. Amen? Amen. Now to all of our first-time listeners, welcome in Jesus' name. We are a Christian, Protestant, non-denominational, international, loving. We minister the Word of God in teaching, sometimes in song. And we have miracles, we have healing, we have deliverances. Anything Jesus offers, it's here because he's here. Amen? And that's what makes the difference. Jesus is here. So we want to thank you for joining us. And we want to thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity and this platform to do this and to share the word with God with people who need to hear from God. Amen. And I believe that's everyone. So we're going to get started. Amen. Now, if you're new, we invite you to join us in our chat room. And our chat room is located on our webpage. Our webpage is miracleinternetchurch.com. That's miracleinternetchurch.com. Amen. When the page comes up, if you're on a computer or a tablet or something like that, across the banner, you'll see MIC Radio Chat. Click that link. Amen. Click that link. And when the page changes, click Guest. When it changes again, type in your own name, one of those names that's on your birth certificate, and your message for the saints, and hit Enter. The saints will respond to you in the love of God. Amen? If you're on a cell phone, use your browser to find Miracle Internet Church. When the page comes up across the top, across the banner, you'll see three white lines against a black background. Click the three white lines. It opens up all the other links to you, and you may go directly to MIC Radio Chat and follow the directions you just heard. Welcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's our lifeline these days. We want to thank you for the blood of Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, for it filling every place in us where there's a vacuum, that the blood of Jesus comes in and fills that vacuum and fills that empty place in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we pray for our place of employment or retirement or whatever it is we do. And we thank you for the opportunity to do what we do. We are grateful for the chance to earn income that provides for us and our family and for the blessing that it has been to us and to others. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our place, our station of occupation enjoys a good reputation, that it is seen well in the minds of its customers and vendors. Thank you that it prospers and makes a profit, that you give it favor with its clients, and that you continue to provide wisdom and insight to those within it who occupy important decision-making positions. It is our prayer that our place of occupation will continue to thrive and prosper. Thank you for the increase and expanse that is needed. Thank you, Father, for the creativity that is evident in different areas of our occupation. New ideas, new concepts, new techniques, new innovations that keep us alive, vibrant, and thriving. We ask you, Lord, to bless it and to cause it to be a blessing to others that need its services, as well as to all those whose lives are invested in it on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny thing about employees, you know. Sometimes, if they're Christian, usually, particularly, they pray for what's going on wrong in the workplace. But some of them think to pray for the prosperity of their workplace. It's important to remember that your occupation, whatever it may be, is an instrument and a tool that God is using in your life. And regardless of what is happening there or not happening, we need to give God thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, it's a good thing to say that what the Bible says, that your lot falls into pleasant places. So whether you're a homemaker or whether you're a surgeon or whether you're a tree surgeon, whatever you do, whatever your place of occupation is, we pray that the Lord bless it, and that he bless you to be a blessing to others there. Amen. That you are used to his glory there, wherever that place may be. Amen. Praise God. I'm happy about that. I'm very happy about that. God is busy, saints. He is busy all over the world. And I do mean busy. God is very, very, very busy all over the world. There are people all over the world crying out to the Lord because of the situations of their locale or their nation or their government or their lack, or even if they have abundance, the situation may not be amenable. There are people all over the world calling out to our God for change. And he hears each one and he loves each one. So don't ever feel that God's too busy to listen. He's not. He's designed to do just that. He wants to hear from his people. Amen. We're the kingdom of God. Amen. So even though there are people on the other side of the globe from wherever you are, God is listening to all of us at once. You know, when you have a lot of children and they're in the house and they're running around doing their thing, whatever their thing happens to be at that time, and they're all making noise and talking at the same time and doing their thing all at the same time. As a parent or as a relative, you sit back and sort of for a moment and just enjoy the moment. It's a lot of clamor going on, but it's good clamor. It's the kind that makes you smile at the end of the day. And you are happy that you are alive to enjoy it. Well, God has children all over the world calling on him, worshiping him, praising him, thanking him, blessing his holy name. it's hard not to join in, if you know what I mean. The closer we get to the end, it seems the more I want to praise the Lord. And I don't know if you're experiencing this yet or not, but I am. The closer we get to the end, the more I want to praise him. We serve an absolute magnificent God. He's magnificent on more levels than we can give an account for. But he's busy. He's busy. He's at work to it that his word is carried out in the lives of the believers. He's at work introducing people to the kingdom. He's at work answering our prayers. And that's a lot of prayers, saints. That's a lot. So I'm enjoying knowing that. I'm happy to be a part of the family of God. And I pray that you are as well. Amen? Amen. We're going to make it home together, saints. And it's important that we enjoy the journey. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have gifted us with love and with worship and with peace and with joy, and we're enjoying our gifts. We're enjoying the gifts that you have given us. They make all the difference in this world. Amen. They make all the difference. God has given us peace and joy and contentment and love. He's given us love. And it's so precious a gift that if we would stop and just think about it sometimes, how precious the gift of love really is to each person. You'd be so overwhelmed. God is so good. He's given us patience and long-suffering and all these gifts that make the going worthwhile. Amen. Some days you look at your day and went, well, what was that? But when you stop back and think about how it could have been versus the difference that God and his gifts and his love made in that day, you're amazed at what God really did. And you're amazed at his magnificence and how wonderful he really is. He's truly wonderful, saints. And if you haven't met the wonderful one, I encourage you to introduce yourself. Amen. Amen. I encourage you to introduce yourself. Heavenly Father, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in your sight. Amen. We thank you that our loins are girt about with truth, the spirit of truth, and we wear the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod, preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, we take the shield of faith. Yes, faith. So that we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We're wearing our helmet of salvation, and we've taken the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. We thank you that you put a hedge around us and that we're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the head and not the tail, and no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the armor you have provided for us. So you are our shepherd, Lord. You're our shepherd, and we shall not want. You supplied all our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So we cast all of our cares upon you because you indeed care for us. We thank you for allowing us to walk in divine health. We thank you that you are the God who heals all our diseases. And by your stripes, Lord Jesus, we have been healed. We thank you for prosperity, good health, even as our soul prospers. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Father, thank you for leading me and guiding me in all my ways. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're the Lord of our life. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring us home. Amen. You're going to bring us home. When it's time, we'll all meet together in the air. What a wonderful day that's going to be. But in the meantime, we can have some wonderful days right here. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, decisions, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, and orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan. In Jesus' name, we bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for bringing down all of the protections and safeguards of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, for releasing the angels to see to do that this work comes to completion, that you tear down all of their protections and what they hide behind. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan, his agents, and their wicked powers. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy in Jesus' name. We pull down all demonic thrones, and we bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places in the name of Jesus. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, whisperers, peeps, watchers, reporters, listeners, familiar, electronic, digital, and technology demons and their attacks. All Leviathan spirits and their attacks, every hindering spirit and all of their attacks, we bind them, and we take those hindrances and bind that devil in Jesus' name. The very hindrances that the devil brought to us and uses to bind them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the way we do warfare. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, all brainwashing, psycho, and Kundalini spirits and their attacks, all water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, all unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils and their attacks, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence, smart dust, and drone spirits, all sorcery devils and their attacks, all seducing and womanizing and whoredom spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, the Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons, the voices of the charmer and the seducer and their attacks, all targeted radio frequency attacks, weapons and their attacks, all microwave attacks, and debilitating sonic frequency attacks, and the work of every druid. We thank you, Lord. We bind all hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We're binding all microwave frequency weapons, 5G, and all components, and everything beyond 5G, Lord. All of the weaponry and rugaraxi that is aimed against human beings on the earth, from outer space, from another galaxy, from another orbit, through another star or another planet or a comet even, and especially from man-made satellite systems that have been launched into what we call outer space. From all of those places and more, every attack that comes to human beings on the earth, we raise the shield of faith and we deflect those attacks back where they came from. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, and we give you praise for what you are doing for us, Father. We bind the transmission of those attacks to any earthly receptor, whether it be a man-made transmitter of some sort or the cell towers or our own devices, in Jesus' name. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the sender. We bind electromagnetic attacks, smart technology attacks, techno-paganism, mind control by the occult, force feedback, cyber stalking, cyber sex crimes, pornography, demonic curiosity, bewitching spirits which manipulate modern technology, pulse microwave radiation attacks designed to cause neurological problems, brain injuries, debilitating headaches, vertigo, binding directed energy microwave weapons, binding all vibrations which are demons. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We bind Buddhist black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, European, North American, Celtic, indigenous, tribal. Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over the potential for warfare at sea in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over Zeus and all other warring demons in the name of Jesus. We bind their efforts and their collusions, their plans, and their devices in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid any attacks at sea to start a war in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, to release your angels from the heavenlies and release your war against their war in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over the thieves and the marauders at sea. that attempt to jump onto ships and take over, whether they be cruise ships or any other kind of vessel in the sea. We bind their intent. We bind their evil, and we bind their wickedness in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for seeing to it that these people are properly arrested and gone to court and imprisoned for their evil works in Jesus' holy name. We take authority, dominion, and power over missile warfare. Woo! In Jesus' name. The improper use of these missiles to perform tests, as they are called. Rumba baba rukonde de brishale de dios la la dia. Runge de brishale la dios sundere broko baba baba rule de dia se ruko de resi. Runge de brishale de dios sundere brike de dios la la la. Ruka de bre. Father, we thank you that you maintain control over where they are aimed and ruka de brishale de dia. And the final destination of every missile in the name of Jesus Christ. Rumba baba ruko hore de diosur rekisa tabre re la la de yosunde de breke de diosula roka de brishele de yosunde de breke de diosuda la riasa rekite. We already have one rocket man, Lord. We need no more. Rumba baba ruko de brishele de yosunde de bre runge de brishele de diosuda la diokur kala de yosunde de bre sala la de yosunde de ruko baba baba ruko le de diosala de dia yergu rinde de rushe de dia kunde ra la la yosunde Ruba baba kushe yeri de yosundara bara kunda reseleria yeri kitera bara. Father, we cover our submarines around the world, and we cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power over oceanic regeta warfare in Jesus' name. Raba baba ruda de dia ringi di brusala de diosala de diokur kole de diende runga de brusala de diokur kahale de diasa. Yerki de Manisha, Rumba Baba, Rukotorobri, Ringa de Abrishala de Yosula Radioso. Father, we thank you that our submarines and their ability to communicate, Ruka de Abri, is under the blood of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power over spirits and creatures in the deep. Ramba Baba Rukota, Ringa de Abrishala de Yosula Radiakurkoto, Ringa de Abrishala de Yosula Radiokur, Gilene de Yosundabra. Runga de Abrashala de Yosuda la de Akanda Abrisha de Dia. Runga de Abrosala de Yosik and Bebebeba Rukata. Even from cities under the sea. Rumba Babaruko Hele de Ascendere Abrushala. Ringa de Abrisa de Yosuda de Yokur Gale de Yosundabre. Rika de Abrisha de Yosuda de Dia. The Doria Siki de Ruka de Abrisha de Dia. Working in tandem, Ruka de Abrisha, with land warfare to bring about a war. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo, hallelujah. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness. We send you into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Father, release your angels. Father, we place in your hands all that are in peril on the sea in Jesus' name. Rumba baba bruko de abrisha la de yosuta. Runga de abrisha la de yosula la de akar rogo rogo la de yasa. Runga de abrisha la de yosu rigite rugata re de. Rumba baba bruko de abrisha la de yosula la de ya. Runga de abrisha la de yosuta re ke de ne de onda da barakata. Runga de ni manashi kaka. Thank you, Lord. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils, and we bind all Caribbean, Latin American, Jamaican, and Haitian black and white magic in Jesus' name. We bind all evil spirits that take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We take authority, dominion, and power over Metatron, and we bind him in Jesus' holy name. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, low levels of dopamine. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect and all satanic ritual abuse, devil, satanic worship, witchcraft dedications, and all rituals done on the phases of the moon. We bind the formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, spirits of supplanting, the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the grove, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, and demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We want to thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, monitor, track, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, bewitch, tranquilize, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind the shedding of injected persons upon us. We return and loose these attacks to the senders. According to the covenant, we bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind, the food lust, addictions, and gluttony and false flags in the name of Jesus. And we return to sender, according to the covenant, all in every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, psychic weapon, retaliation, all avenging, all blowbacks, all vengeance, all blood rituals, every boomerang, each payback, and all requiting of our righteous work in Jesus' name. This includes every evil work, mark, rite, ritual, ceremony, sacrifice, proclamation, backlash, pronouncement, vow, root work, or sin against us, astral projections, and sending demons to us to work against us and against all that pertains to us. No demon, no wicked person, or unrighteous event left behind, binding the inordinate use of conjugal rites, returning to sender all witchcraft attacks through channeling and the satellites and the broadcast and the app. In Jesus' name, binding all abortions as a magical ritual. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Returning to sender all Cameroonian wizardry, black magic, jujus, hexes, vexes, and such. All tribal witchcraft, we return to the senders in the name of Jesus Christ. We return all Chaldean witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ, and all Spanish and Mexican witchcraft, we return in Jesus' name. We're binding all covens, cults, conclaves, cabals, and the so-called planetary shift. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind your methodology. We bind your lies. Woo! We bind your lies in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that. We bind your lies, your message, which is a lie. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we return your lies back to you because they do not belong to the godly. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Father. We're breaking and destroying our social, emotional, and psychological ties with food and drink, which are displeasing to Jesus. We bind every coven, every cult, every conclave, every cabal that comes under the heading of the Illuminati, the UN, the global elite, whichever name is used for them this week. We bind you all in Jesus' holy name. And we thank you, Father, for seeing to it that that has taken place. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're breaking and destroying our social, emotional, and psychological ties with food and drink, which are displeasing to Jesus Christ, binding superficial religious acts and every act of sexual sin, binding magic spells for love, money, protection, black magic, white magic, candle magic, hoodoo, root work, lucky charms, high magic, and folk magic spells, binding the demons of energies, boomeranging their wicked works upon them, binding all magical language, magic signs, and magical patterns, even in numbering, binding synchrony, binding and caging Poseidon and all other underwater devils and creatures, and stripping them of their crowns, their powers, and their thrones. and transferring it back to Jesus Christ, for all power belongs to God, binding all conjurations and summonings of demons, binding Jewish black magic mysticism, magic writings, magic artifacts, binding the essence of magic and Jewish magic by practitioners, amulets, bowls, precious stones, incantations, divining practices, magic spells, and potions, binding all blockages to righteous spiritual reception. We take authority, dominion, and power over all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, Great Reset, make-believe, fantasy, fables, enchantments, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, La La Land, the spirits and works of the oppressors, and the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices, unlawful nudity, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind the king of pride and all of his underlings. We chain them with eternal chains under darkness. Send them into the spiritual cage, into the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind all human, demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, food, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in Jesus' name. Especially all sacrifices initiated by a king or queen of the coast in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, apathy, unyielding, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, idle mind, unfocused mind, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, violence, and temptation to sin. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Molech, Baselech, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Apollyon, Kali, Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet, and his 72. We bind you in Jesus' name. We bind all gods and goddesses, Osiris, Isis, On, and all false deities in Jesus' name. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness and send you into the spiritual cage, into the feet of Jesus for judgment. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, colon hot spots, psychic weapons, prompters, codes, triggers, charms, tumors, designs, and signals, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, rite, ceremony, vow. We bind. We bind the rituals, the brotherhood, the lodge, the craft, the worship, the grips, their charter, Freemasonry. We bind the rituals of every secret society and those of all the associated organizations in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the insanity, pride, work of errors, and foolishness of our own opinions. We bind being misled and misleading others. And we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassment, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you love us. Father, we bind the works of those who work to bring honor to themselves. Father, we thank you that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We repent of an evil heart of unbelief in accord with Calvary. We ask you, Father, to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Lord, we have come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, binding all electromagnetic energy pollution, binding and returning to sender all electromagnetic, binding magical fantasy movies and TV shows, binding the unreality of the Hallmark Channel shows and the escapism, and binding the pathways to sins of the mind in Jesus' name, binding gloom, neurotic behaviors, anxiety, and depression in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you. Thank you, Lord. And to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief and whom we serve and obey. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over every demon that has followed us, was sent to us, or transferred us, or hitchhiked with us in the name of Jesus. With the sword of the Spirit, we disconnect ourselves. In Jesus' name, we bind that demon and send him to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Even if they come through the pages of the computer, or every demon coming through computer lines, and we return them and any curses in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and elsewhere. We pray for kings and all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere, especially those that are being persecuted or imprisoned, and the January 6th prisoner. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Father, in Jesus' name, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We cover our mode of transportation, whatever it may be. We take authority, dominion, and power over all casualties, potential casualties on the road, any vehicular accidents, any accidents in the air or on the sea or beneath the sea. Woo! In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we plead the merits of the shed blood of Jesus over human beings that have to work underneath the sea. We ask that you protect them, Father, and watch over them in Jesus' holy name. We cover ourselves and our property with the blood of Jesus. We take authority, dominion, and power over demons in the day and night, bad dreams, night dreams, sex dreams, anyone or anything trying to get into our dreams. And we forbid them to enter our dreams in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst. We thank you for your warring, linking angels, your praising angels. But most of all, we thank you for your own very presence in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for everything you do to protect us. So in the name of Jesus, we pull out all fiery darts, all voodoo pins, needles, spears, witchcraft, anything sent from the demonic realm. We bind the devils in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep, and close and seal every open door to the demon. Amen. We cut, burn, destroy silver cords and ley lines and sever from ourselves all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and all other forms of agreement with the demonic realm. We break down and destroy walls of protection around shamans, globalists, nanotechnology, Satanists, wizards, warlocks, witches, obedomen, witch doctors, kings and queens of the coast, every order, rank, and type of witch, sorcerers, divinators, liars, and such. We break and destroy the power of all their curses, charms, love spells, vexes, hexes, sorcery, magic, voodoo, brain frequency meditations, mind control, bewitchments, death, potions, jinxes, psychic power, pain, sickness, and destruction, torment, psychic warfare, prayer chains, incense and candle burning, chanting, incantations, ungodly blessings, crystals, hoodoo, root works, and everything being sent against us and against any of our family members, including tribal rituals and sins, in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Lord. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We want to thank you, Lord. We don't take this for granted, Lord. Thank you very, very much. Praise the name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. We return to the sender. Spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, sorcery, blindness, paralyzation, passivity. Paralyzation is not a word. Okay. Binding spirits of bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, glory, and honor for this, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that as we continue on our journey through earth with you, that we will enjoy more and more of you and the blessings that you have provided in this abundant life for us all. And everybody said amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, saints, we were chosen out of the world. God chose us out of the world. He brought us out of the world. And we can see the difference. But they just think we're strange. But that's okay. We are. We're not like them. So, at some point, I pray that they get the idea that what we have become in Christ is so much better than where they are. I pray that every heathen and every unsaved person come to the realization that what we have become and who we are in Christ is so much better than where they are. Amen. Thank you, Father, for answering my prayers. Our featured psalm for tonight is Psalm 50, Psalm 50, and our verse for meditation comes from that song, Psalms 50, verses through 15. Our featured ebook is Dangers of Astral Projection Bible Study. If you have not read that, you might want to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, tonight we're going to talk about keep your armor on. Keep your armor on. That's exactly what we're going to talk about. Keep your armor on. You will join me. We can convene at Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Judges chapter 7, verse 1. And while you're coming to Judges chapter 7, verse 1, I'm going to read another scripture to you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just want to thank the Lord for his goodness. Amen. So we should be to Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon. And all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Hardon, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. How arrogant. But God knew who his people were. Now, therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Now, saints, that's a pitiful day. 22,000 were fearful and afraid, so God had to send them home. God had to send 22,000 people home because they were fearful and afraid. So God was left 10,000 people. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Amen. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he set all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pharaoh, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. Phurah, I think that's his name. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. So they had camels to go. I wonder if they charge for parking places, but I don't think so. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bishuddah in Zerah, and to the border of whatever that word is, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, and he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel, and spake unto them likewise, and the men of Penuel answered him, as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Concord, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east. And there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Gobeah and Gogbeah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. A young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him. And he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders of, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and the thorns of wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they, each one resembling the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request for you, of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was about 1,700 shekels of gold, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even Ophrah, and all Israel went thither a-whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. Tree was in quietness 40 years in the day of Gideon. Amen. That's a lot of warring, but it was important. Amen. Amen. So, we are going to look at this in a little more depth because the Lord wants to talk about it. Amen? Amen. So, I've read those scriptures for you, so you'll have an idea of what we're actually saying. So, in the second and third verses of the seventh chapter of Judges, the Lord is saying to Gideon, you got too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands. So, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, tell my people, that anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and go home. Isn't that interesting? That the Lord doesn't need warriors that are chickens. And that hasn't changed from Gideon's day till now. When God chooses warriors, he has to deal with the chicken in them. And so do they. Now, as many times as the Lord has had me to proclaim the word of the Lord concerning fear to you, we still have some chickens in miracle. And you know who you are. I'm going to tell you yet again that you must go to God about all your insecurities and all your fears and all your doubt and all your unbelief, because you have to get rid of it. It's not just to sit there and whine to him. It's for you to get rid of it. Amen? You see, there is no fear in heaven. There's no fear in the army of God. You saw that in this passage. And God is very serious about this. And while you've been dragging your feet, that's time you could have spent binding that fear in you, commanding it to leave you in Jesus' name, and doing what Jesus has commanded us to do. You defeat the devil. Amen? That's right. So, the Lord came up with a way to reduce the number of Gideon's army from 22,000 strong to only 300 men. When Gideon was told to trim down his army, the first criteria for selecting those who would remain was pretty simple. God got straight to the point. Anybody who trembles with fear may turn back and leave and go home. Go back to your tent. You're not coming into battle with us being a chicken and being scared. You see, that's a tactic of the enemy to destroy the army itself. God doesn't use fear. He uses faith. And we all know that now. So with that directive, over two-thirds of the army took off. They just left, and only 10,000 remained. So the lesson is quite clear. God will not tolerate fear on the front line. And that's the end. He's not going to tolerate fear. So that means your fear must go. And that's the way it is. However, the next criteria for selecting the warriors was a little more subtle. When the 10,000 reached the water, Gideon was to send home all those who put their faces down to the water to drink, who knelt and lapped with their hands to their mouths were accepted. Well, why was that? Well, if you look at this closely, you can figure it out. When we examine this, we see the truth. Those who knelt and brought the water up to their mouths were in a position to watch for enemy activity on the horizon. They were in a position to watch for enemy activity on the horizon. They acted like soldiers. Those with their heads bowed down to the water were in no position to see anything except what satisfied their own needs. Does that describe you? Jesus has commanded us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Jesus has commanded us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore. Watch, W-A-T-C-H, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch. That's what he said to do. Amen? We're told to watch and pray. He said to be sober and be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We're supposed to be on our watch. We're supposed to be paying attention. We're supposed to notice what the enemy doesn't want us to notice. Preoccupied and so shackled down in the cares of your own life, you're not going to be able to do that. Amen? The Lord says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, watch ye. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men and be strong. Act like men. Be strong. You know, if you're going to be a man, then you got to act like a man. If God sent you into the earth to be a man, then that's what you're supposed to be. And it's just that simple. If you're supposed to be a man, he sent you here with men equipment, then that's what you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be something else. And it doesn't matter how much you pay some plastic surgeon to give you equipment you don't have any business with, you're never going to be a woman. You're going to be a man, period. God doesn't make mistakes. He knows what he's doing. You're the one making the mistake, not him. We all understand? Because that's the way it is. Is the way it is. That is the way it is. You can't make you be something that you are not. Getting artificial breasts and artificial everything else you can come up with means just that. All of that that you have added is artificial. It's not the real thing. You need to stop playing games with your own mind and heart and pretending to be what you can never be. The Lord. Truth speaks. Amen. So, God says to watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Act like men and be strong. Not all that whimpering and whining and going on. Not all that wallowing in the flesh. No, you're supposed to be standing fast in the faith. Amen. Many times, we are commanded to be continually watchful. It's not a suggestion. It's a command from our commander-in-chief. We are to be continually watchful. Courage and willingness to fight are not enough. The Lord's frontline warriors must also watch and pray. Gideon, and some other things about Gideon. So Gideon was a man thoroughly willing to follow God, to trust him, and miracle, can you hear this? To trust him and obey him. He was courageous. But deep inside his heart, God spotted a secret fear about attacking, lurking where only he and Gideon could see it. Are you listening, Miracle? Secret fears are interesting. Oh, yes, they are. Often they can remain totally undetected until the actual battle. I can remember years and years ago, I was in a choir. And I think it was Father's Day or some day like that. And the men were singing the solo that Sunday. And when it came to this certain song, there were supposed to be two men that each had a solo part. Well, guess what? One of them did not show up to church. Now, what do you think of that? Here is Sunday morning service, and this is sort of a special event where the men are leading the solos, just the men, and only one of them showed up to sing his solo part. The other one was no place to be found. Amen? I think that speaks for itself. Then, often they can remain totally undetected until the actual battle, till showtime. Then, out they come in full force, destroying the child of God. However, God will do everything in his power to make sure we don't carry fear to the front line. Gideon's case is an incredible example of how far God will go to prevent this. Our God is a merciful and compassionate God. Yes, he is. In his rich mercy, God provided a way to deliver Gideon from his fear. And he will do the same for you too. Using enemy soldiers. That's what he did. God told Gideon, if you're afraid to attack, then go down to the Midianite camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. After that, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. And if you go back to verse 10 up there in chapter 7, that's what happened. So Gideon obeyed God. Did you hear that miracle? Gideon obeyed God. Noah obeyed God. Abraham obeyed God. Did you get it? So Gideon went. But I want you to notice this very important factor about Gideon. Gideon was willing to admit his fear. Woo! Gideon was willing to admit his fear. He did not hold on to his pride and ego. My, what do you think of that? He did not deny it. He didn't try to fake God out either. He took God up on his offer to be freed from it. So, miracle, we must do the same thing. We cannot pretend to be more courageous than we are. God wants to free us from all fears and doubts before the battle. if we will humble ourselves and allow him to do this work in us. But he sure isn't going to make you do it. This is a whosoever will faith. And whosoever will gets the blessing. Amen. When Gideon and Purah sneaked up on the enemy camp, they heard an amazing thing that they never would have figured out on their own. There was this one soldier who was explaining a disturbing dream he had to one of his fellow soldiers. And the fellow soldier had an interpretation. My. He was basically saying, God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into Gideon's hand. That's right. The whole camp. God just took right over and did that. He says in verse 14, and his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand God has delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gideon was so overwhelmed with what God had chosen to do that all he could do there was stand and worship God. God had sent a miraculous confirmation to deliver him from all of his secret fears about attacking. Look at God. Amen. Look at God. Isn't that wonderful? You can't tell me that God doesn't care, saints. You just can't tell me that. Now, Gideon was ready to go, and he knew that he was ready. He was ready, and he knew that he was ready. You see, when it came time for Gideon to actually go to the enemy camp with just 300 men, we see something absolutely astounding and amazing occurring. Instead of giving his men traditional weapons, what we always use, you know, we always do it that way, he armed them with torches inside clay jars and trumpets. When he gave the signal, they were to all break the jars and blast the trumpets, shouting, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Amen. So that's what they did. But I want you to notice something else. God did not directly give these instructions to Gideon. So how did Gideon get these instructions? Well, remember when Gideon was so overwhelmed with God's compassion and mercy for him that he gave him an interpretation that vanquished all his fears. Remember that? And Gideon was caught up in worship with God. It was under the influence of God's spirit that Gideon captured what was in the mind of God to come up with the idea. It just sort of came to him. So, think about what kind of thought pattern, amazing thought pattern, this was for a man who had never in his life heard of anything but what was conventional. standard wisdom, the status quo, what we always do. No, Gideon stepped out of that realm into the realm of faith and picked up God's point of view. Oh, miracle, I pray that you're listening. Chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. As the Midianite army fled, Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come on down against the Midianites and seize the water of Jordan ahead of them. Come on, y'all. We got them on the run. Let's go. Amen. So in verse 24, chapter 7, verse 24, and Gideon sent messengers throughout all Ephraim saying, come down against the Midianites and take them before they get into the waters. So all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters. They took that ground. Gideon and his 300 men, exhausted yet keeping up the pursuit, exhausted, yet keeping up the pursuit, came to the Jordan and crossed it. And he said to the men of Succoth, give my troops some bread. They're worn out and tired, and I'm pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian. My. This is a long war. There are several battles within this war, but they kept on going. They didn't stop. Well, you know, I'm so tired now. We've been going all this time. We haven't had anything to eat, and I just can't go any further. No, they didn't take that route. Those are the ones God sent home. So Gideon had to battle forces of ego and pride, oh yes, as the Ephraimites were insulted at not being called for the initial battle. Well, God didn't call them. What are they insulted for? Why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight Midian? We're in chapter 8 now. We're in chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. We're around there. Amen, somewhere around there. So, it is after the victory is won, miracle. It is after the victory is won that Satan often launches his greatest attack on the soldier of God. In this case, the defeat of Midian was only the beginning of Gideon's spiritual battle. Once the major victory was won, Gideon must have faced a major temptation that we all face after the first round of success. Exhausted, but thinking, we have the enemy in the bag. Our natural tendency is to put our feet up, rest on our laurels, and say, okay, I guess it's time to go home. That is never God's plan. But Gideon knew something. Gideon knew that the remnant of enemy troops who managed to get away, who managed to escape, have this habit. They go home, they regroup, and they come back with a more deadly vengeance than ever before. So that is not the time to sit back and prop your feet up. Amen. Therefore, he asked four tribes of Israel to come to help him in the pursuit. All four tribes did this, and they had considerable success. The tribe of Ephraim even captured two key Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeeb. However, the leaders of Ephraim were extremely upset with Gideon at not being asked to participate in what they considered to be the big kill or the initial victory. This is 100% immaturity, petty, it's childish, and it's disgusting. That's right. It's petty, it's childish, and it does not speak that they ever walked in the Spirit. No, they were just concerned about their own flesh. Now, let's talk about this a minute. I want you to notice that the leaders of Ephraim never considered what God wanted. They didn't have time to think about what was on God's mind because they were too preoccupied with their own. Their anger, fueled by pride and ego, clouded any consideration of God's almighty plan. Neither did they acknowledge or experience joy at the great miracle God had brought through Gideon. All they could feel were sour grapes that they were not invited. Sour grapes refers to a person who is angry because they have not gotten or achieved something that they wanted. It is a sick form of bitterness with scorn, resentment, bad-mouthing, anger, and displeasure. A very immature attitude of the flesh. It gets to its name from the story of Aesop's fable, who secured his own pride. I think it was a fox that did that, by saying that the unattainable grapes are sour. He couldn't get to the grapes, so he decided to pronounce the grapes sour, not that he'd ever tasted one, and therefore not worth attempting. It sums itself up in rationalizing as bad because it could not be attained. The moral of the story is that it's easy to despise what you cannot have. Amen. So if that's one of your weaknesses, you need to be on your face before the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's walk in truth. As God pours out his Spirit and works signs and wonders through his church in these last days, we must be watchful for our own hard attitude and our own stinking thinking. That's the truth. Yes, we must. And we must be watchful for those in our own ranks who feel left out when God does not work through them. You see, that's God's prerogative, not yours. These people must be handled with great love and tact. If they are not, as in Gideon's case, they prove to be a source of great contention and anger in the body. Why? Because of their fleshly, carnal immaturity. you will find that if they were not called to lead whatever the situation is, they get up and go home and have an attitude of great proportion. I mean attitude. And you can't much get them to do anything else because they are injured, you know? So injured. They haven't been to anybody's hospital, but they're so injured. It's time for the body of Christ to mature and put away childish things. Amen, it is. Oh, it is. It really is. So, how did Gideon handle those who were blinded by hurt, pride, and ego? With the truth. That's what he used, the truth. He used the sword of truth to reveal to them a law of spiritual warfare that they had never considered before. He basically said, God lets you capture Oreb and Zeeb, the generals of the army of Midian. So what is it I've done in comparison to that? Your actions at the end of the battle were more important than ours at the beginning. Close their mouth. You know, there are people who will have an attitude forevermore in the body of Christ if they think that someone is overlooking and not giving a due lauding to whatever it is they have done. You see, they're in it to bring glory to themselves. You wouldn't know it unless you were watching the Holy Spirit show it to you. Amen. But these people truly need to mature as human beings and as Christians. Think of it. Your actions at the end of the battle are more important than those at the beginning. This is a critical truth to remember when, in the first flush of victory, Satan tempts us to let up on our warfare before the work is truly done. It is also humbling to know that those who follow up in the army of God are just as, if not more, important than the heroes. Now, I've seen too much of this foolishness over the years. And God is bringing it to our attention because he wants to flush it out and get rid of it. Talking about this because there's nothing else in the Bible to talk about. Oh, yes, there is. He wants to flush it out and get rid of it. So if you're one of these insecure persons, it's time for you to get busy before the throne of God. Amen. Now, let's put ourselves in Gideon's shoes. Here he and his 300 men were completely and utterly exhausted and hungry, not at all letting up in their pursuit of the enemy. They had trained into miracle, discipline, and self-control to overcome their own discomfort. I'll say it again. They had the discipline and self-control to overcome their own discomfort. Even when the men of Succoth and Penuel refused to give them food, they did not let the bitterness of this rejection by their own countrymen slow them down. No matter how desperate or let down we may feel, we must keep our shield of faith high We must learn to subdue our feelings and move on. That's right. Knowing with bold assurance that it is God, not man, who will pull us through. When Gideon captured the two Midianite kings, Zeba and Zalmunna, he asked his oldest son, Jether, to kill them. But Jether did not draw his sword because he was only a boy and was afraid. Come do it yourself. As is the man, so is his strength. So what did Gideon do? He stepped forward and killed them. And that's the end of that. He stepped forward and did the job. So we said all of that to say this. You cannot ask a boy to do a man's work. Let me say this again. You cannot ask a boy to do a man's work, for he neither has the strength nor the mental or emotional maturity to handle that. Did you hear me, sister? I want you to hear me well, because that's what some of you did when you chose a marriage partner. You chose a boy instead of a man, looking for him to do a man's job, and he never did it. I say to the younger sisters, learn from this. Learn from this. It's important that you learn from this. It is the same in our spiritual lives. Our growth and spiritual maturity have much to do with the size job we can take on. Always the temptation to run before we can walk. However, we must keep our ears attuned to the Lord's directive. He will determine how much we can successfully handle at one time. We must also be sensitive to the growth and maturity of others and not try to force our own wills on them before they are ready to do a job. You can hear the Lord sing. I hope that you can hear the Lord. Finally, after the last enemy was defeated, Satan launched his major attack on Gideon personally. After the victory's been won on the battlefield, Satan comes to attack the leader. I've seen it over and over and over again. He comes to completely pummel the leader. And where are the soldiers to pray? Where are the prayer warriors to pray for the leader when the enemy comes to wipe the leader out? Nowhere. They're home on their lees, picking up with their lives, minding their own business. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm just going to leave it just like that. The devil often figures that if he cannot prevent a child of God from gaining the victory, he can try to destroy him afterwards. In this case, Satan used ego, pride, and self-exaltation to attempt to cause Gideon's downfall. So in verse 23 Okay, we'll start at verse 22. Then the men of Israel, we're in 8:22, said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. There, another spiritual victory for Gideon. Well, yes, at that time. But Satan was not finished. Satan had one more scheme up his sleeve. And it was on this point that he caused Gideon to stumble with some unholy results. So without consulting God, Gideon collected gold earrings from the enemy loot and made them into an ephod for his hometown. The result was that all Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. With only one mistake, this hero, who had been so obedient and loyal to God, led an entire nation into idolatry. What a lesson. What a lesson to show us that we can never let up on our warfare. We can never take our armor off. Saints, keep your armor on. Miracle, keep your armor on. Amen? Keep your armor on. That's what needs to happen. You need to remain alert and vigil because there's more to come. It's not over. Amen? Amen. We got to learn. And the time to learn is now. Because you don't get this learned on the battlefield. You get slaughtered on the battlefield if you don't learn. Okay. So they're home from the hospital. Keep your armor on. They seem to be doing fine. Keep your armor on. Thing went well over the holiday. Keep your armor on. The Supreme Court finally said something that was in his favor. Keep your armor on. Amen? Keep your armor on, saints. You can't afford to go into battle without it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody, praise the Lord. We're going to the guest call-ins. Area code 952. You're on the air in Jesus' name.
Praise.
Hi, Pastor Sabrina.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, wow. It was an eye-opener. It was hitting there, and I had to take the covers off so I can totally hear and totally point my fingers to me. He's talking directly to me. My goodness, this was exactly what I needed. Just expose it. Fear, hiding behind fear, hiding behind any little thing that comes up. You want to get into bed and put your head under the cover and just stay in bed all day, every day, and not face reality. It's still there when you get up. But, oh, my goodness. Thank you, Pastor Sabrina. He was just getting on my case earlier today, and I tried to ignore it, and he threw it right back in my face tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lord. You're not the only one. You see, you're the one that answered the phone and said what some other people are saying, too, only you can't hear them. So now recant the sermon and get real with God. And this time, go forward.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. No more shake and bake.
That's right.
I got to totally give it to him. No more shake and bake. I cannot. I got to do and take my hands off. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Can you pray for me, Pastor?
Wow. Well, I'll pray for everybody. There
Amen.
Are a lot of people.
I agree.
There are a lot of people that need to hear and need to deal with their own issues, their own flavor of shake and bake. They need to deal with it.
And we bury
and,
it.
Yeah, but that doesn't work.
Try to. We try to bury it. We think we buried it, but others can see it, but we think we're doing good. We're smiling. We put on the show. But when we get home, it's a different world. And then when we out, oh, everything is great. Praise the Lord. I'm doing that. I'm in the battle, knowing that you go home and go under the covers and you do nothing. You move your Bible from one side of the bed to the other. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. There are some more saints that are listening to you right now that are thinking about what they do, and they're in the same position you're in. So I'm saying, miracle, it's time to come out of the shadows because God's ready to deal with this. He's been saying it over and over and over again, all right? So let's get serious and let's do what we know we have to do.
We can't hold up the front line if one of the links is faulty. The first place the enemy is going to attack is that faulty link, and it breaks the whole it breaks the whole chain of command. We stumble,
and we got a lot at stake right now. We got a lot at stake. A lot of souls are hanging in the balance. We cannot afford to fail. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the word tonight. We want to thank you for the purging that ought to come. We want to thank you, Lord, for the conviction that has
come.
We want to thank you for pulling off the layers of the lie and the shame and the put on and the faith. And the pretend, and the phony, and the colluded.
Yes.
We thank you for peeling the layers off, Lord. And we can finally get down to pay dirt with you. We thank you, Lord, for calling
you, Lord.
Us out on our sin.
Yes.
And calling
thank
us
you, Lord.
On the carpet to give an account.
Yes.
We thank you. You love us enough to call us out. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for the work
thank
that
you,
you're desiring to do in us. I pray
yes,
that we finally step up and
yes.
allow you to purge us until we
thank
are
you,
clean.
Father. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Wash us in the blood and we'll be whiter than snow.
Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Father. We thank you for it,
Lord.
And we give you praise for it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew.
God bless
you,
Lord. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Won't he make you clean inside? Yes, he will make you clean inside. But you've got to let him do that. You've got to yield to the process of getting it done. See, you can't stick armor on top of corrupt the way it works. The armor won't fit right. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So, we are, in the name of Jesus, we are. Amen. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge. The administration of President Joe Biden is set to end all future coal leasing in a significant portion of the Powder River Basin, a coal-rich region spanning Wyoming and Montana. The Bureau of Land Management, BLM, announced on May 16th its plan to ban future leasing in this area. The Powder River Basin produced about 43% of U.S. coal in 2019, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. The Bureau of Land Management's final plan, considering various options, including maintaining current levels or limiting future leasing, chose the no leasing proposal. This decision means no Bureau of Land Management administered coal will be available for leasing within the planning area, according to the final impact statement. Environmental groups praised the move, saying it will keep the approximately 6 billion tons of coal reserves located in the Powder River Basin in the ground. Remember that servant? The Lord had given one 5, one 10, and the other one 1, and he went and dug a hole in the ground and stuck it in there? That wasn't so bright. That wasn't. Jeremy Nichols, a senior advocate at the Center for Biological Diversity, commented, "This is what true leadership on climate and energy looks like." Oh, no. "I applaud the Interior Department for prioritizing clean, affordable energy that protects our climate for future generations." Huh. But Biden's decision also drew criticism. President Biden continues to wage war on Wyoming's coal communities and families. This short-sighted plan will kill future coal leases in Wyoming's Powder River Basin, the most energy-rich area in the country. This will kill jobs that could cost Wyoming hundreds of millions of dollars used to pay for public schools, roads, and other essential services in our community, said Senator John Barrasso. Taking office in 2021, the Biden administration has aggressively regulated coal use as part of its broader climate agenda. At the 2023 United Nations Climate Summit, the administration committed to not building any new coal-fired power plants and to phasing out existing ones. So Biden's going against courts that allowed coal leasing. This decision follows a previous attempt by former President Barack Obama, who seemingly tells him everything to do, to impose a moratorium on coal leasing in the Powder River Basin, which a federal court overturned in February. Last February, a federal appellate court ruled in favor of the mining sector, overturning a lower court decision that had halted new coal leases on public land. The Ninth United States Circuit Court of Appeals, in an unsigned memorandum, vacated the 2022 ruling that reinstated an Obama-era moratorium on most coal leasing applications. The case debated whether the administration of former President Donald Trump was required under the National Environmental Policy Act to study the environmental impacts of resuming federal coal leasing. In 2016, then Interior Secretary Sally Jewell imposed a moratorium on new federal coal leases as part of a broader review. Her successor, Ryan Zinke, rescinded this moratorium in 2017, but many projects struggled due to weak market demand. Environmental groups, some states, and the Northern Cheyenne Tribe of the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation in southeastern Montana sued, arguing that Zinke's actions violated NEPA, or the National Environmental Policy Act. In 2022, a federal judge ruled to keep the moratorium until the Biden administration completed a NEPA analysis, which the BLM started last year. However, the Ninth Circuit Court found that District Judge Brian Morris lacked the authority to issue the opinions. The Biden administration revoked Zinke's order in 2021, making the coal leasing moratorium legally non-existent. Nothing about the Zinke order can be changed through further NEPA analysis when the Zinke order is legally non-existent, the court stated. The court also noted that dissatisfaction with the federal government's position does not justify challenging a defunct order. Taylor McKinnon, Southwest Director for the Center of Biological Diversity, criticized the decision, saying it could lead to increased coal leasing at a time when a shift to clean energy is crucial. Well, Saints, let me tell you something about God and his world. He made it. He can fix it. He can cleanse it. He can do whatever he wants to do it. Remember the flood and Noah and the ark? God can do whatever God wants to do. It's his planet anyway. Do we understand? I think we do. It's his planet. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the earth and they that dwell therein. Amen. So, we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning to limit global temperature increases, or so they say. The group of seven G7 nations have announced plans to sign a deal that will force all remaining coal-fired power plants in member states territories to close down between 2030 and 2035. With few exceptions, the nations of the G7, or at least those over which the G7 has influence and control, will be expected to come up with energy production alternatives that the globalists have decided are good for the climate and the planet. Didn't I just say that the earth was the Lord? I thought so. All of this was devised at the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Dubai. Did you get an invitation to go to Dubai? I didn't. Last December, where globalist power brokers decided that Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, and the United States must fully decarbonize electricity by 2035 in order to stop global temperatures from rising another 1.5 degrees Celsius. Since Germany and Japan derive more than one quarter of their total electricity from coal, these two nations will reportedly be granted some leeway with a coal shutdown plan, Reuters reported. Germany, though, is still planning to phase out coal just by 2038 at the latest, while Japan has not yet set a date. Now that the last of the country's nuclear power plants is officially offline, the European economic powerhouse of Germany has created for itself a serious energy deficit, which it is addressing by per-generated power from nearby France. In a politically correct green move that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, Germany essentially abolished its own much-needed nuclear power infrastructure only to replace it with nuclear power from another country that likely costs a lot more and is far less available than the domestic stuff. As with most of Europe, ever since Russia invaded Ukraine and the West responded with energy sanctions, Germany, France, and other countries are struggling to produce enough energy for their own needs. Many of them, especially in Western Europe, have been decommissioning energy production from earth-based fuels like coal and oil and trying to replace it with wind and solar, which has not been going all that well. Part of Europe's green transition involves shutting down nuclear power as well, even though it is clean, almost as if the European Union wants countries like Germany and France to experience a serious energy crisis and subsequent collapse. Dozens of scientists, Nobel Prize winners, begged German Chancellor Olaf Scholz to turn back on the country's nuclear plant, recognizing that this is a very serious problem that will end up freezing and starving to death the European population. Dozens of scientists, including multiple Nobel Prize winners, have written an open letter to German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, asking him to turn back on Germany's nuclear power generation fleet. At the very least, Germany needs to restore the three nuclear power plants it recently shuttered power it needs without having to rely on nuclear-generated power from France. In their letter, the scientists and the Nobel Prize winners pointed out that the three nuclear power facilities in question generated a total of 32.7 TWh of climate-friendly electricity in the year 2022. This is enough to power one quarter of Germany's 10 million households. Looking at the production data for the entire lifetime of the now-closed ISAR 2, MSTAN, and whatever that word is, two nuclear power plants, they operated at an average utilization rate of 93% over their less than 34 years of operation, reported Remix about the matter. In other words, the units operated at almost peak capacity and had not even reached their 40-year operating life, and therefore were still in good condition. The scientists argue these plants could have safely operated and would have had enough fuel keeping them running. Ironically enough, Germany's carbon emissions have actually increased overall and to go green. Last year alone, the country produced 30 million tons more carbon emissions than in previous years, as it has had to increase coal and gas power production to make up for the deficits created by its shutdown of nuclear and forced transition to wind and power, both of which are highly unreliable depending on weather conditions. At the same time, the demand for coal supplies has risen. Before the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, half of all coal imports came from Russia. But in the meantime, Brussels has also sanctioned Russian coal. That was real smart. German coal importers, therefore, source coal for power plants from South Africa. That's a lot of money. Australia, the U.S., Indonesia, and Colombia. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Amen. Tell you, this is an interesting world that we live in. Requesting adjudication from the righteous judge concerning, Iran has drawn a red line for all out regional war in the Middle East should Israel launch a full-scale attack on Hezbollah in Lebanon. Iran's ambassador to the United Nations issued a statement that any full-scale military aggression by Israel against Hezbollah will result in an obliterating war that will burn the entire region. All options, including the full involvement of all resistance fronts, are on the table. Posted to X further reads, what Iran means by resistance fronts in this context are the various militia groups it supports in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu acknowledged Iran's threat in commenting that a seven-front war could soon erupt in the Middle East as Iran activates its regional proxies. For a number of years now, Israel has been sending jets to attack Iranian assets inside Damascus, Lebanon's capital, in order to weaken the Assad regime. Keep in mind that Russia also has a military presence in the northwest coastal region. Down in the south, meanwhile, Israel continues to blast Hezbollah as the situation escalates. Word through the grapevine says the United States is also on the verge of getting involved as it sends amphibious military ships to the eastern Mediterranean. Signs appear of an imminent attack. Americans could have to be evacuated from the region. In the past few hours, warplanes attacked several Hezbollah targets, including a military site for the organization in the Zabqin area, two operational infrastructure sites in the Qayyim area, and a Hezbollah building in the Odessa area, reported what his name is, AYH, an Israeli newspaper. I don't speak that language too well, so I won't crucify that. All right, Hezbollah puts Israel on notice in his own statement coordinated that with that of Iran. Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah warned Israel to back off or else face a war with no limits. Should that happen, Israel would likely lose as its military forces are stretched thinly right now with a heavy presence in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. The general sentiment is that Hezbollah in Lebanon is much different and much stronger force than Hamas in the Gaza Strip. In fact, any Iran-linked group in the Middle East will be much tougher animal than Hamas, which means Israel's hands are about to be full. Back during the 2006 Lebanon War, reports emerged to suggest that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps of Iran, also known as the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, were presented on the ground in Lebanon to assist Hezbollah. Simply put, the entire Middle East will put Israel the moment Israel launches an attack on Hezbollah. Then all bets are off. This isn't our fight, noted one online commentator about the situation in the Middle East and how it pertains to Americans. This isn't the fight of the populace of Western nations. It's the fight of the Zionist-occupied governments of our nations, not our problem. Israel went one kibbutz too far, wrote another. The world has had enough of their nonsense. Because of that, America will suffer the most. Others criticized Netanyahu for his war hawk behavior, with one calling him a maniacal moron, and another calling him a psychopath. Well, that didn't help. Is it just me, or is it Israel and its dual citizens causing chaos all over the world while playing the victim, asked another, for his adjudications concerning such. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning SNAPU. U.S. gives up on failed $230 million. Do you have $230 million? If so, the United States needs it back. $230 million Gaza humanitarian aid pier. This assembly to begin as early as July. It's July. More government waste is making headlines after the Biden regime announced that it is giving up on the $230 million Gaza humanitarian aid pier boondoggle in the Middle East. After operating for just 10 days, cost of $23 million per day. The Gaza aid pier is being deconstructed in the latest example of federal government tomfoolery, compliments of U.S. taxpayers. Remember back in March when President Biden rattled off from his teleprompter during his State of the Union address about how important the pier was to alleviating the humanitarian catastrophe imposed by Israel in the Gaza Strip. Well, guess what? Well, it seems the pier was not important after all. The pier will go down as one of history's costliest publicity stunts, reported Zero Hedge. The impetus for the pier was mounting political pressure on Biden, particularly from his own party, as Israel's response to the October 7th Hamas invasion killed tens of thousands, displaced more than a million, and caused a territory-wide and medical supply crisis. This sudden announcement about the aid pier's deconstruction in Gaza came just 1 week after the Michigan primary, in which it was revealed that 13% of Democrats, amounting to more than 100,000 people in the state, voted uncommitted as a way to voice their disapproval of Biden's presidency. I want my money back. Any second lieutenant could have foreseen this train wreck, tweeted the Legwolf X account. Absolute humiliation for our troops, all because Biden wanted a talking point in his reelection campaign. U.S. taxpayers and the country as a whole get stuck with the bill. But at least Israel is happy, right? The independent media in general could not help but notice that all this insanity surrounding the aid pier is indicative of a much larger problem of political pandering at the behest of the Zionists. Unable to persuade its perennial multi-billion-dollar beneficiary to allow sufficient aid to pass through land crossings, the U.S. government felt compelled to spend $230 million trying to bypass the blockade, a blockade the same U.S. government continued to facilitate via military and financial aid. Zero Hedge explained about America's bizarre and abusive relationship with Israel. As for what happened at the aid pier during the 10 days it operated, we know from media reports the desperate Palestinians ransacked the first aid trucks to arrive before the vehicles could even reach a distribution warehouse managed by the World Food Program, resulting in the pier having to be shut down for 2 days. Then came the bad weather and rough seas, which destroyed portions of the pier and left it unusable, resulting in four associated vessels running aground and crashing, prompting another pause in operations. All in all, the Gaza aid pier was never really open as intended, and yet the hundreds of millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars spent on it are gone forever. Adding to the additional national debt and the collapse of the country under the heavy weight of unmitigated corruption and greed. A U.S. service member was also critically injured while trying to build the pier. He was flown all around for treatment, eventually finding himself in San Antonio, where he is said to be still in critical condition. Father, we plead the merits of the shed blood of Jesus over him. Waves swept away a section of the American floating pier installed to carry aid to Gaza, Israeli media reported Saturday. I would say this sums up Biden's effort. Can't even build a structurally sound pier. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Now, if you happen to have in your piggy bank under your bed $230 million, the people of the United States of America need it. Thank you so kindly. We are requesting adjudication from the righteous judge concerned. An FDA rule that went into effect January 22nd allows for individuals to be enrolled into medical experiments referred to as clinical trials, as well as receive investigational drug treatments without first consenting coming a medical test subject. The process is now operational. This final rule allows an exception from the requirement to obtain informed consent when a clinical investigation poses no more than minimal risk to the human subject and includes appropriate safeguards to protect the right, safety, and welfare of human subjects. The final rule permits an institutional review board to waive or alter certain informed consent elements or to waive the requirement to obtain informed consent under limited conditions for certain FDA-regulated minimal-risk clinical investigations, the Federal Register said. 9 healthcare sites in the country are now automatically enrolling people in a clinical trial for fentanyl and ketamine, really, administered during transport in an ambulance while the patient is unconscious from a traumatic accident such as a car wreck. Normally, researchers must ask a person for their consent before they can be in a study. Because severe traumatic injuries must be treated right away, there may not be time to get consent. Giving consent for medical research usually means reading information, talking with doctors and nurses, and having time to think about whether to join. You better talk to a pharmacist, too. A person with traumatic injury is often not able to do these things. Sometimes researchers can talk to the patient's family to ask for consent. However, in the emergency of a traumatic injury, the family is often not around or can't be found before the injured person must be treated. Be done without special permission to include people before getting consent. This permission is called exception from informed consent. A press release from the Medical Provider Network, Guthrie, said the special clinical trial Guthrie is referring to is a Department of Defense, formerly Department of War, funded study, pre-hospital analgesia intervention pain trial, led by the University of Pittsburgh. found in the state of Pennsylvania. Importantly, once a prospective medical test subject who is being transported via ambulance in an unconscious state is given either fentanyl or ketamine, they are enrolled in the experiment and as such are expected to participate with study protocols for up to 6 months. Isn't this interesting? You're knocked out and they've made decisions for you. The study will enroll about 1,000 random trauma patients, randomizing them to fentanyl or ketamine from 9 healthcare sites in the LITES network in the United States. Patients are expected to participate in the study for up to 6 months. The Guthrie release said, of note, the serious side effects of the drugs are discussed, despite the FDA rules stating that risk to non-consenting medical test subjects must be minimal. Fentanyl is associated with addiction and low blood pressure. Ketamine may have some complications, including hallucination, anxiety, feeling of disconnectedness, but may be more beneficial to some patients and lessen exposure and risk to opioids, Dr. Sperry said. The doctor went on to discuss the military-funded program of medical experimentation on civilians. The goal is to help the military to provide the best care for injured personnel, help determine the best pain medicine, and determine what are the best short and long-term outcomes when comparing these medications, he said. If a person wishes to opt out of being experimented on with potentially lethal drugs, let me say that part again. If a person wishes to opt out of being experimented on with potentially lethal drugs, they must wear a bracelet obtained via contacting the study administrator. Before you have this crash that you can't predict you're going to have, you have to get a study bracelet, okay? You can opt out of the study by calling 1-800-664-0557 or emailing whatever this is, or by filing the form at the bottom of the page. The LITES Network can provide you with a hypoallergenic silicone bracelet to wear that indicates that you should not be enrolled in the study, the information page said. An informational notice was mailed out to the affected areas, which include the rural region of northern Pennsylvania and southern New York State. Males ages 18 and older, and females age 50 and older are the target of the military-funded experimentation, according to the male documentation. The only way to opt out of this 4-year study appears to be contacting the study's organizers and asking for a silicone bracelet you can wear, indicating your unwillingness to participate. Those living in affected areas, such as rural parts of southern New York and northern Pennsylvania, have received notices in the mail about the study with instructions on how to opt out. Now, if they consider it to be junk mail like I would have, it should be in the recycle bin already. It's not exactly a foolproof system. Even those who do not take the time to request a bracelet just in case they are involved in an accident might not be wearing it at the time of the accident, or it could even be destroyed during the accident. It's not clear whether individuals who are not local residents but are brought by EMS to the hospital could also be enrolled. Ultimately, those who are enrolled in the study are being used as guinea pigs to help the U.S. military. UPMC trauma surgeon Dr. Jason Sperry explained, the goal is to help the military to provide the best care for injured personnel, help determine the best pain medicine, and determine what are the best short and long-term outcomes when comparing these medications. We want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudication, and not only that, but for his wisdom showing up. Amen. Amen. You know, Brother Marshall, this gets to be more and more interesting as we go along. It really does. I tell you. What do you think of that?
I think the Lord knows what's going on, and he's not surprised. This is the same Pittsburgh University, I believe, where they did all this research to come up with all the interventions on how to do gain-of-function research for the so-called virus that supposedly came from China. The researchers were at the Pittsburgh University. It's just a coincidence, I'm sure. I'm sure the Department of Defense has nothing to do with all the experiments that were done over here that Barack Obama actually tried to shut down before Fauci made sure they were shipped over to China so that Trump can call it the China virus, even though it was initiated by the Department of Defense. Just coincidences, I'm sure. Just a coincidence. And I keep thinking about my daughter, who recently had a traumatic brain injury, and that she was whisked off to the hospital, but she wasn't over 50. So they might not have bothered giving it to her, but she did get some of these kind of things offered to her, especially in the subsequent surgery to fix her nose after the airbag had smushed it. So, Father, we know that she wasn't too wild about it. They said, what do you want to give me fentanyl for? So I remember her exclamation before she went in for the nasal correction. Father, and she had a few moments to think about it. But she didn't have any time to think about it when she was in the accident. My grandson isn't quite 18 yet. Not quite. Father, we thank you that you know exactly what's going on. You know why the pier was built, in the Eastern Mediterranean, where the seas get really, really rough, and there was no way that thing could have survived. But they were so sure they could get to do it. Pride cometh before the fall, I think it says over in the Proverbs, maybe chapter 18. Father, you know how to had to deal with those people who are like Satan, who are controlled with proud wrath. So we come to you, Lord Jesus, because we don't know what to do. You're our meek and mild Savior. You're like that barley bread. What's barley represent? Barley represents a very humble bread. That's what Gideon's bread was, a barley bread. It wasn't the finest of the wheat it talks about elsewhere in Psalms. It was barley. It was like real basic. The poor man's bread. I guess we're all poor compared to the Lord. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns everything. Everything that's been created belongs to the Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory, Father. We thank you for your adjudication. We thank you, Lord Jesus, interceding for each of us. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for groaning through us as we yield to you. Because we don't know necessarily what to do, but you said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and abrade us not. So help us to allow the Holy Ghost to groan through us, Father. We thank you for the spirit of adoption, Father. We not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. For every one of these things, the Pastor Sabrina is going to the trouble of looking up and researching and reading, and Brother Bill was so kind to post. We ask for your help, Father God, concerning all these things. There's just a coincidence about saying that coal is terrible. Well, yeah, it may be a dirty thing, but it could be cleaned up, and it certainly is cheaper to start with, a lot cheaper, a lot more plentiful in many different areas. In Australia, there's lots of coal. They want to send it to Japan. They need some energy production. You know, they had a nice nuclear power plant that had a little tsunami problem, a little tidal wave, which kind of polluted all the fish there in the Pacific. And heading over to California, you know, we heard Pat Holliday talking about that on the thing Pastor Sabrina sent us for our pleasures. And we heard about the people going surfing and swimming in the California waters where the waters from Fukushima. I remember when that happened. It was a very exciting time, Father God, when that, and who caused that tsunami? Who caused that earthquake? There couldn't possibly be anything like HAARP or any government-controlled groups that would want to trigger seismic activity in weak areas. There are certainly no people trying to control the weather. That would be a tin hat conspiracy theory. So, but Father God, you know everything. and I don't know, but diddle. I'm just like a gorgeous hunk of dust, and we thank you for creating all of us, because you don't make any junk, Father God. We ask you to help the people in Wyoming and Montana, Father God. Those people tend to be more conservative out there, from what I understand. They don't tend to like to go along with all this watermelon agenda, where it's real green on the outside and bright red on the inside, like a watermelon, like communist thing trying to take over a nation, Father God, like communism, Father God. Oh, it's all to protect the environment. It's all for your benefit. A lot of things they're trying to do to protect the environment, like what they did in East Palestine, Ohio, when they burned up all that stuff that caused nasty, toxic stuff to go across many states, blowing from west to east. Just a coincidence that happened to go over all that nice farmland in western Pennsylvania, but all across the state, up into New York State. Hey, that's the area, northern Pennsylvania and southern New York. It's amazing coincidence that the same area that they want to have this study done, where they want to go after the 18-year-old and older men and the 50-year-old and older women to give them, to sign them up with the Department of Defense to give them some fentanyl. You know, I thought fentanyl was the drug of choice being sent over here by China to try and kill off all the military age people that were so depressed they're looking for any release, and they don't realize that God can give us the release. The Creator God, He can give us that oil of gladness, the oil of gladness, just like He anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness. Father, we ask you to pour forth of your Spirit as you promised, Father God. And you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You own everything, Lord. You have all power in heaven and earth. Power not just from coal, power from whatever people need power from to be able to get by. All those nice Amish and Mennonites in Ohio and Pennsylvania and all of that want to farm their land with their horses, that's way too green. That's too green for them. Oh, they might fart. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? Oh, we got to put a little diaper on the horses and on the cows. So, Father God, we ask for your adjudications for all this nonsense, Father God, being done not just to affect the United States, but how about Europe, where they had the rather limiting thing that people would be thrown in jail if they let their house get above, I think it was 19 degrees Celsius, which I think is something between 67 and 68 degrees, which in the summertime, that sounds pretty cool, sounds pretty comfortable, but in the wintertime, when it's not much moisture and especially the wind is blowing, might feel pretty chilly. So, Father God, they seem to be wanting to control people, especially since they're closing down the major production of, was in Germany. They made most of their, most of their fertilizer came from natural gas, which they used to get from Russia. Oh, my goodness. And that got shut down by the coincidence they said Russia did it, of course. That's all Russia's fault, even though it was done from the Biden administration, who said, you know, we're not going to allow this stand. You know, that natural gas thing from Russia is going to be shut down. Just a coincidence that happened to get blown up by some unknown source. So, Father God, we thank you, Father God, for warning us. And I'm in agreement with Pastor Sabrina's earlier prayers at the beginning of the worship service, Father God. We bind the Spirit of Zeus from our position, seat, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to not only Proverbs 18:10, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and are safe. What is the name of the Lord? His name is I Am That I Am. He's from everlasting. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is from everlasting. He's the eternal Word of God. Father God thought it. The Lord Jesus, the Word of God, spoke it. The Holy Ghost did it by the finger of God. He created everything, visible and invisible. He created those people that look like people and those people that are blended with AI, those people that are controlled by demons, Father God. We bind every spirit of demonic control, mind control, every spirit behind psychological warfare. There's a lot of that going on. A lot of stuff going on with psychological warfare. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe that God loves you perfectly and perfect love casts out all fear? Or will you believe the enemy's report? Oh, oh, there's going to be a terrible conflict in the Middle East and Hezbollah and Iran and Israel, and the leader of Israel is out of his gourd, and he may be, but we know the United States pretending ruler is whatever he is, this Biden thing, whatever he is, one of his clones or one of his people standing in for him, Father God, who made it pretty plain that he really is not too well functioning, Father God. And it seems like a lot of the world's leaders are having difficulty being able to make common sense, Father God, about whether to build a pier or whether to go to war with anybody and everybody, just because, you know, they're scared. And we heard what happens with all these witches and all these people that are serving Satan. They're controlled by fear, because that's how Satan controls people, with ungodly fear. So we thank you, Lord. We bind that spirit of ungodly fear. We cancel their assignments, all those that are and will be members of the body of Christ, and all the descendants of every believer. You said, believe in the Lord Jesus, be sozo in your household. You'll be saved, healed, delivered, preserved, made whole in your household. You said, whosoever shall take the cup of salvation shall be sozo, shall be saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. Made whole not just physically, yes, physically too, but even in our minds. You restore our hearts and minds. The spirits of rejection are bound. The spirits of ungodly fear are bound. The spirits of depending on man instead of depending on the Creator God are bound. You're able to help Gideon. You helped him a lot, Lord. You helped him a whole bunch, Father God. He didn't know what to believe till he heard it come out of the enemy's mouth. Oh, this is nothing but the sword of the Lord and Gideon. So, Father God, you know how to rescue us. So we speak confusion, division to the enemy's camp in Jesus' name. We speak confusion, division to all these people. And we thank you, Father God, for exposing all that's going on, Father God, with all this nonsense of going on. And some people said that the big expensive thing supposedly to bring in humanitarian aid into Gaza actually was put there so they could get all the people out, put them on boats, and get them out of there so Israel can just take over the area without having to slaughter everybody. But that didn't even work out either. So, Father God, because they want those people out of there. They want to take over the whole place. They want to have their own coast. And those people are kind of a nuisance. They've been there since before Israel was given the Balfour Declaration, Father God. And who says they can have the land anyway? How come they have this phony flag with a so-called Star of David, which is occultic? So, Father God, we know what's really, really going on to a certain degree, but you know everything because I don't know. So we bind every spirit of death, hell, and destruction, every spirit of Zeus is bound from our position, state, and replacement, according to Ephesians 2:6. In Jesus' name, as joint heirs with Christ, all the benefits of Psalm 91 over all those that are will be members of the body of Christ and true believers in the one true Creator God. And those Jewish people over there in Israel, there are some that actually do believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There may be even some blood relatives of Father Abraham, Father God. And some of them are Palestinians, actually. There's quite a few of them, probably. That's why those Palestinian Christians are being terribly persecuted, Father God, outrageously persecuted, Father God. Father God, we thank you for pouring forth of your Spirit, and we ask you to rescue all those in harm's way. We thank you for providing all of our needs according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I thank you for a wonderful praise report I heard recently by a gathering of Christians over there, Father God, and the Holy Ghost was poured forth tangibly, Father God. And people, one guy was supernaturally healed, had been sick for a long, long, long time. So, Father, we thank you, Father God. You're able to raise up that 38-year-old who'd been sick his whole life, and he didn't need to have the waters troubled. He didn't need to have a so-called healing angel, which is not really in Scripture, because that's the only place that talks about that. And Jesus didn't need any healing angels. No, no. He just said, take up your mat and walk. So, Father, we know your arm's not too short to save, and we thank you for extending that staff of life. Jesus is the living bread from heaven. Your arm's not too short to save. So we ask you to save all those people, including those Jewish people that are real Jewish people, Father God, and help them to come to be completed Jews, come to believe in the Messiah, the real believer. Because Paul said he would even give up his salvation if his own natural brothers in the flesh could be saved, Father God, because some people have their minds blinded, Father God. They don't see. So, Father God, please give all those that can receive it the gift kind of repentance, Father, that need it, Father God, including those in authority that are able to receive it, Father God, and those in harm's way. I don't know if you can reach Netanyahu, those in the Palestinian Authority, and all those different groups, Father God, the people from Hezbollah, the people from Iran, those people in authority, the people in the United States, including the part of the Uniparty, they try to pretend they're Republican and Democrat. They all just go along with the same nonsense, Father God. Some of the Republicans are more sneaky than the Democrats are pretty blatant. But, Father God, we ask you to deliver each one from all these agendas seeking to kill, steal, and or destroy, because Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Every spirit of stealing, killing, and destroying are bound in Jesus' name, because you said whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You said one could put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. So together with in agreement with the saints, Satan, you're bound, or your underlings are bound, sent to steal, kill, and destroy. Every spirit of Zeus is bound. Every ungodly spirit trying to manifest through Netanyahu or anyone else in the Middle East or anyone from the U.S. government, including the war, the hawks in the military, some of those deranged people, Father God. Father, if they cannot repent, Father God, we ask you to remove them, Father God. We ask you to remove them with people who can think clearly. And we thank you, Father, for doing so. Because you said where the name of the Lord is, when the name of the Lord is present, your wondrous works declare, according to Psalm 75. And we give you praise and honor and glory for your word, what you're performing. You said promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So put down those that need to be put down and replace those that need to be replaced. You were able to use Cyrus, and they were able to rebuild the temple that was supposed to be rebuilt, Father God. And you caused those people to actually do the work. And how did they do the work? Oh, they were building the temple with one hand, and they had their armament in the other hand. They kept on their armor. They kept on their armor all the time because they had to be vigilant, Father God. And just like the ones that were going out with Gideon had to be vigilant. They had to be not bowing down to slurp up any marine spirits, Father God. They had to be listening to you, the one true creator God. So help the body of Christ to hear. You said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not heed. So, Father, we thank you for arising. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him, those people that follow other gods. In Jesus' name, you speak blindness to the enemy, muteness to the enemy, and may only hear what Jesus wants to hear, pertaining to every believer in the one true creator God, and all the descendants of every believer, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fires, let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Thank you for pouring forth of your Spirit, Father God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them exceedingly rejoice. And it's written in Psalm 68:21, but God shall wound the head of his enemies, those that are rebelling against the Creator God, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses, those in the Department of Defense and those in the Republican agenda, Father God, that want to bring about war, trying to bring about war, those people in the Uniparty that want to bring about anything to keep Donald Trump from getting into office. Is he our rescuer? Is he our Savior? No, Jesus is our Savior. Donald Trump's just a man. He might be used to the Lord, but he's just a man. Rebuke the company of spearmen and the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people till everyone submit themselves with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war, like it says in Psalm 68:30. And we thank you for hastening your word to perform it, because you said if two of you on earth agree to touch anything you ask, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. And we thank you, Father, for what you have done and you're going to do. And we give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Lord. They have prepared a net for my steps. Yeah, the people in Montana, all those places, and the farmers in Iowa, they're trying to keep them growing their potatoes. They prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. You know, the people that are still people that are making these rules, they like to keep warm in the winter, and they might even want to keep cool when it gets to be a little warm in the summer, as it's been a little bit warm recently, Father God. But you promised to protect us. You promised to give us the shade of a rock from the heat of the day. And we thank you for protecting all those in need. And we thank you for providing for those in harm's way, including those in the Middle East, Father God, and confirming your inheritance with a plentiful rain, pouring forth of your Spirit, Father God, raining down righteousness, rain not just, yes, maybe in the physical first, but then in the spiritual, pouring forth of your Spirit. And we give you praise and honor and glory for what you're going to do, have done, and going to do. Help the body of Christ all over your earth to wake up, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. That's who's the arm of the Lord? The generation of the dragon, the dragon.
When I was just a child, I heard a beautiful story. How you loved me so much that you died on Calvary.
Shoes of peace, walking in peace, keeping on the helmet of salvation, protecting from all thoughts captive, and such, leading us towards